Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Today we're going to be talking about the impact of loneliness. But before we jump into today's episode, if as you're listening, you think of someone that maybe this would benefit and this would be helpful to, we would love if you would just forward this episode to them. So we know that loneliness impacts us psychologically as well as physically. So today we're going to discuss some of the effects of loneliness. And where we want to start is kind of an extreme case of loneliness. We're going to look at a fictional case study on solitary confinement. And although it is fictional, it's representative of the real experiences a lot of individuals have experienced who have been subjected to solitary confinement.
John, a 30-year-old male inmate, was placed in solitary confinement for 60 days following a confrontation with other inmates. John had a history of mild anxiety, but no other documentation of mental illness prior to this confinement. His initial reactions for the first few days, John felt a mix of anger and resolve to get through the isolation without issue. He maintained a routine of exercise, but had no other activities to fill his time. As the days turned into weeks, John began to experience profound loneliness and sensory deprivation. The lack of natural light and minimal human contact began to disorient him, leading him to a distorted sense of time. By the third week, John started showing signs of severe anxiety and depression. He had trouble sleeping, experiencing panic attacks, and found himself talking loud just to hear a voice. After a month, John noticed difficulty concentrating and remembering simple things. His thoughts became increasingly obsessive, focusing on negative aspects of his life and imprisonment. In the absence of external stimuli, John began to experience auditory hallucinations, hearing noises or voices that were not there, further exacerbating his mental distress. Upon release from solitary confinement, John was visibly shaken. He exhibited signs of PTSD, including nightmares, flashbacks, and a heightened startle response. John's social skills had deteriorated. He found it challenging to engage in conversation with other inmates and became increasingly withdrawn. Physically, John appeared paler and lost weight and complained of chronic headaches. His immune system seemed weakened. John required psychiatric interventions, including medication for depression and anxiety, as well as therapy to address his PTSD symptoms. However, his progress was slow, indicating the deep psychological scars left by the solitary confinement experience. A year later, after his release from solitary confinement, John continued to struggle with social interactions and suffering from sporadic panic attacks. Although there was some improvement with ongoing therapy, the isolation had lasting impact on his mental health. Now, one of the things that I think is really relevant when we're thinking about this idea of social isolation or even solitary confinement is that I think we all went through a bit of this experience in 2020 when we had to stay home or not go to work. And some of those lasting effects, I think, are still visible on people today, where I think there's decreased social contact. And I think some things good kind of came out of that, where a lot more people were able to work from home. And that's nice and that's convenient. But a negative aspect about that is that it removes some of the social contact that people had on a regular basis through their work environment. Now, again, some people have toxic work environments, so it's probably better that they're not there. But to a certain degree, people got much more comfortable with a lot less social contact. But just because you can become comfortable with something, that doesn't mean that that thing is healthy. And I do think there's a lot of lasting negative anxiety and social repercussions that people have from that isolation that everybody went through. Now, it's actually really interesting because we were looking up what are the effects of social isolation, and we also looked up what are the effects of solitary confinement, and the results were very similar. And so when we're socially isolating ourselves, whether we're struggling with time or social anxiety, or we've just become comfortable with being isolated, is that you are negatively affecting and negatively impacting yourself the more that you do that. And sometimes it can be a relatively short amount of time can have a great impact on you. Now, I know somebody who was in a solitary confinement-like experience for just about 24 hours, and that caused them to have PTSD symptoms from something that was so short and seemed, especially compared to the story we just told of 60 days, seems insignificant, but it can leave a lasting impact. And I think a major part of the reason for this is that we are social creatures. Whether you're introverted or extroverted, it doesn't matter. You are a social creature. And if you're not taking the time to engage socially, it's going to have both negative physiological and psychological effects on you.
Oh, for sure. I would totally agree that there are a lot of impacts and effects of specifically that time period on different groups of people. And I think of middle school students or especially high school students where maybe it's their senior year and they were so looking forward to the graduations and the proms and all the ways that they'd be celebrated. And a lot of that was taken away. A lot of those experiences were taken away, but also a lot of contact with their friend group and the support system that they had was taken away. And in this type of situation, that's when you really do need support. And so I can certainly see the effects of that. But also younger kids, like babies and toddlers during that time period, didn't have that initial introduction to that social world that maybe they would have normally had, whether it's in the nursery at church or daycare or seeing or meeting other family members. And I think now they've kind of been reintroduced to things. But I do think initially, right after, there were a bunch of younger kids who didn't have that normal introduction to society and to family and friends that you normally would have. And so the social interaction and ability to have that was so different. And then you look at the older population, the older generation, where even before the pandemic, they were at a higher risk of experiencing social isolation and loneliness. And because they were at a higher risk for their health, that led to further isolation. And it exacerbated that loneliness because they were separated from their support networks. But also a lot of the older adults relied on community services and support system for healthcare, social interaction, daily needs. And then a lot of that was taken as well. And then just in general, there's that digital divide where a lot of things got shifted to online platforms and we communicated more that way. But for some older adults, that posed a challenge. They weren't as good with technology. And a lot of times they didn't have as much of a connection as maybe the rest of us who were able to stay in contact digitally or access information or different services online. And I think we can continue to talk about how different groups were impacted. But overall, there was a theme of this social isolation and loneliness that happened. But we're going to switch over. We're going to start to look at just the impact of loneliness on physical health. So we're not going to necessarily spend as much time on this as we will on the psychological effects. But here are some of the ways loneliness can affect physical health. There's an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. Loneliness has been linked to higher risks of developing heart disease and strokes. The stress and emotional strain associated with feeling isolated can contribute to that increased blood pressure and decreased heart health.
Another thing that can happen from social isolation is sleep disturbance. Lonely individuals often experience poor quality of sleep, including difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, and more fragmented sleep patterns. This can lead to chronic sleep deprivation, which is associated with a whole host of other health issues, including obesity, diabetes, and weakened immune function.
Which goes right into the next physical symptom, which is weakened immune system. And you heard this in that example we gave in the beginning about John. Studies have suggested that loneliness can weaken the immune system. making individuals more susceptible to infections and illnesses. And this weakened state is possibly a result from the stress hormones released when somebody feels socially isolated. And when you're continually exposed to that, it really begins to take a toll on you.
Another thing is increased inflammation. Chronic loneliness has been found to increase levels of inflammation in the body. Inflammation is a natural response to stress, but when prolonged, can contribute to a wide array of health issues, including chronic disease like arthritis, diabetes, and heart disease.
Another physical symptom is accelerated cognitive decline. So research indicates that feelings of loneliness and social isolation can really accelerate that cognitive decline, especially in older adults. So in the example with John, we talked about after a month, he noticed difficulty concentrating, remembering simple things.
Another thing is social isolation or loneliness alters our stress response. This altered stress response can lead to chronic stress condition. This prolonged stress can affect the body in numerous ways, including gastrointestinal problems, worse asthma symptoms, and potentially accelerating the aging process.
And the last effect that we'll talk about under physical effects is behavioral change. Loneliness can lead to behaviors that negatively impact physical health, and that could be increasing alcohol or tobacco, less motivation to exercise, and poor dietary choices. And all of these behaviors really compound the risk of developing other chronic health conditions.
Now, one of the things that I think is interesting to look at or to think about is that it's almost like our bodies start shutting down when we don't have the appropriate level of social contact. It just doesn't function in the way that it's supposed to. Almost like if you have some type of nutrient deficiency, your body isn't operating the way that it's supposed to. If you don't have the right amount of social contact, your body isn't going to function the way that it's supposed to. And that's just from a physiological standpoint. All these problems come up from lack of social contact.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that social contact is all those sensory deprivation. And I think that's why it's important to get outside. But a lot of times when you're lonely, you really are just staying in your house or you're staying in your bed. When even though you have access to natural light, you're not utilizing that resource and you really are depriving yourself from that. And so there are going to be effects of that sensory deprivation if all you're doing is lying in bed and sleeping and not opening the windows or getting outside or doing something else that can kind of stimulate your mind and your body. All right, you guys, we're going to end there for today, but stay tuned for the next episode as we talk about the psychological impact that loneliness has on us. All right, you guys have a great day, and remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.